This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Mike Valkovsky, a former KUSD school board member, Sammy Rangel, the life technician and executive director of Life After Hate, Steve Brown, a retired professor of educational leadership, and former Kenosha Unified School superintendent, Joe Manji. Now here's today's Education Matters moderator.
And a very pleasant good morning and welcome to this edition of Education Matters here on WGTD HD. I'm your host this morning, Steve Brown, and my guest is Mr. Bjorn Berg. And Mr. Berg is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association of School Councils. Mr. Berg, welcome to Education Matters.
Thank you, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here.
Before we delve into the organization, what the organization is all about, give us some background about yourself and how you evolved as far as your career path into the position of executive director of the WASC.
Yeah, thank you. I'm a proud graduate from Barron High School up in Barron, Wisconsin, north of Eau Claire, about an hour if you're familiar with Northwest Wisconsin. Left Wisconsin when I was 18 years old for college, did my undergraduate at Luther College in Decorah, Iowa in secondary education, spent a few years full-time teaching in the classroom, found a passion, loved working with kids, left that role to move into a management role in the financial world, spent a few years there, eventually got into sales and found myself at a place where I actually opened up my own training and marketing consulting company. Did my master's degree at Drake University, spent some time on the East Coast, came back to the Midwest. And finally, about 5 years ago, 6 years ago now, Steve, I moved back here to Wisconsin for the same reason that, you know, a lot of guys do a lot of things. I moved here for a girl. And now we're married with two kids, living in Madison, Wisconsin, working and have an opportunity to serve this organization, the Wisconsin Association of School Councils, that I participated in all the way back at Barron High School. Back in the mid-90s. And it's an honor and a pleasure to be able to serve in that capacity.
You know, I'll mention a few things. Luther College, Gregory Berg, who's our director of music here at WGTD, is a Luther College graduate.
Right.
And also David Cole, who's our general manager, also went to Luther. Let me ask you a question. When you were at your high school, Barron High School, were you a member of the student council?
I was.
What got you involved in that? And, you know, what was it about being on the student council at that point in your life, 15, 16, 17 years old, that got you focused in and interested in that?
Yeah, my first experience with it actually, I'm going to go all the way back to middle school. And my first opportunity to participate in a WASC program, went to a summer camp up at UW-Stevens Point. And was hooked. And what got me involved and carried me through middle school and high school involvement, and then of course beyond, was this idea that I as an individual and I as a leader had a voice, right? As a student, as a 12, 13, 14 year old student, and then into 16, 17, 18 years old, my voice, my opinions mattered and could make a difference, not just in our school, but also in our community. I had the opportunity in Barron, Wisconsin to be a young ambassador. They had a young ambassador program. And so I got to serve on the city council. We did some community involvement activities in the community of opening up some new businesses or going out to different nonprofits and promoting them, volunteering on certain weekends. And it really showed me the power that even as a 17, 16, 17, 18 year old student, that my voice, my ideas, but mostly my attention and activities could make a difference. And while I knew that, I didn't fully understand it till I went through it. And I think that's why I'm so passionate about this, is that to pass that self-awareness and confidence on to the next generation of leaders, that the work they're doing, even though they're in middle school or high school, can make a difference, a significant difference in their schools and in their communities.
Mm-hmm. I was in student council at Southwest Miami Senior High School down in Dade County, Florida.
Okay.
I grew up in Florida. And I agree, you know, it was a wonderful experience for me. In an article that was in the Des Moines Register a few years ago, you mentioned that your mentor has always been, and as you were growing up and also as an adult, was your father, Ron Berg. Maybe tell us a bit about why he was your mentor and how that has impacted your own life in terms of anything regarding leadership.
Thank you for the question. Always love talking about my dad. My late father, Ron Berg, spent 38 years in public education. Started off as a band. He was drafted into the Army. He was in the Army band. He served his Army days in the Army band. He always talked about it's a great way to go and serve his country. Came back as a band director. Got into in Northwest Wisconsin, you know, built up some marching band, some competitive marching bands that were award winning. Finally got into administration. And what I saw from him was a dedication not only to students, right? Of course, as an educator, both in the high school and middle school is where he served as principal, but also a dedication toward doing things the right way. As his son, and he was my middle school principal, Steve, and it's taken me, you know, many years to be able to admit that out loud, that my dad was my middle school principal. There was a lot of, you know, a steel on steel, right? Iron sharpens iron. There was some friction points that were there as I was this strong-headed teenager growing up. But what I saw was the patience and care with me. And even though that there may have been discipline or felt like the rules came down harder on top of me if I messed up or did something wrong, what I saw was his drive to try and make me better. And he saw something inside of me. And I saw this, he would do this with other students, that he would see something that others didn't and would try and bring that out in them. And my entire career of teaching full-time in the classroom into management and now into executive director role of this student leadership organization, I seek to do those same things, of find that nugget inside those students to turn on that flame or to ignite that passion. It's in every single student we serve. It's a matter of finding it. And once we do, it's incredible what can come from it. And that's why he's always been my mentor, formal or informally. He has always been sort of my mentor going through my career.
You mentioned that in terms of being, you know, in middle school with your dad as principal, having been a high school principal myself, although my son was not in the school where I was a principal because I was all over the country at that time. What was it like? You sort of alluded to it, but being the son of the principal at the school that you attended, on a day-to-day basis, you sort of alluded to it, but what was that like? And how did that impact your relationship with other students, especially since you were also involved in student government at that time?
Yeah, the day-to-day, at first it was unique when I came into middle school in sixth grade. Our middle school is 6, 7, 8 up in Barron Riverview Middle School. At first it was very unique. You'd see your dad sort of in the hallway or after school, go down to his office, right? He was always sort of the one calling the shots that was there. Eventually, it sort of kind of just became the norm. But my interaction with other students didn't differ as much as it did with my interaction with other teachers. And I noticed as I went through, and now as I look back on it, the things maybe I was allowed to get away with, or maybe even the way that I was treated, or I don't want to say deference, but some of the conversations I would have or the way that teachers would interact with me, I think was different because my dad was the principal. And so, you know, as a 12, 13, 14-year-old kid, didn't really recognize sort of what was happening, or, oh, these teachers are really nice to me, or, wow, they let me turn this in, you know, a little bit later. I could, you know, slid in a couple few minutes after the bell without a demerit. But notice that there was certainly a difference that was there, whether it was conscious or unconscious on their end. That was the bigger difference. The kids were just like, oh, we referred to my dad as Captain Ron, which was a movie from way back in the 80s, I think, or early 90s. Not because he was very militaristic, just because he was sort of in charge. And we would sort of, you know, my friends would mock salute sometimes in the hallway, and it was all out of love. It wasn't out of mockery, or to make fun at all. So the kids were actually more okay with it, I think, than the adults, which was an adjustment for them.
In a moment, I'll quote what was quoted by you in that article in the Des Moines Register about words to live by, which I found very interesting. There was a wonderful article written back in 2017 by Miguel Campanier, Student Council Leadership Qualities That Matter, And he talks about the student council leadership qualities and talks about confidence. And the one thing that really stood out for me, and I've used this before in my in classes that I've taught at universities in educational leadership, and it's under the area of humility. And it said, humility goes hand in hand with self-confidence. The last thing you should do is brag about the position you are in this case, being a student council leader.
Yeah.
You are not elected to simply tell people what to do. You have the opportunity to inspire others to be the best they can. Now, I know we've heard phrases like that before from other people, but in your role now as executive director, and you just took over that role less than a month ago, right? Or weeks ago, several weeks ago.
Yep.
But you had experience with the WASC. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about some of the history of the organization. But this whole idea of being the best you can, and for student council members, why is that important to have that sense of humility?
Humility is I love the question, Stephen. I love the lead up to it, because humility, I believe, is truly at the core of effective leadership. I'm a John Maxwell fan. I read a lot of his work, and it's influenced a lot of what I've done. John Maxwell defines leadership as influence, right? He sort of boils it down to one word, and influence. It isn't directing. It isn't being in charge. It isn't, you know, mandating. It's about influence, and those are built off of relationships. And humility comes into play when we talk about things that are done or the roles or positions that we have and how we affect those relationships, how we interact and build those relationships with other people. So for students or student leaders that are out there, if you're involved, let's just pick sports, for example. If you're involved in sports and you're the captain of the team, or you're the first person picked, or you're the, you know, state champion in whatever sport or event that you're in, those things are great. Congratulations on the hard work and celebrate that. But next year, there'll be another champion. Or if you went on to nationals or worlds or the Olympics, right? There's always somebody better than you, is what my dad used to say. There's always somebody better than you that's out there. It's something, right? And so what does humility, or what does being egotistical or braggadocious about things really get you? It turns people off. And it also isn't how, especially here in the Midwest, it isn't how I was raised. It isn't the core values that a lot of these communities believe in. And so that idea of humility, of being part of the team, whether you're leading the team or not, but the team won't function if it's you and then everyone else. You truly need to be ingrained in that. The language you use is important, and it starts with humility.
You mentioned John Maxwell, and after reading the article in the Des Moines Register, it's under the heading in that article, Best Business Book I've Read Lately. And even though it says business, and that book, by the way, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And when you think about leadership in your role, when you were a high school teacher, when you've worked in the banking, I think with U.S. Bank, you spent some time in Fargo, North Dakota. You've been all over the country. Why is having that knowledge of leadership, leadership qualities, leadership ability important to take that information and pass it on to a middle school or a high school student who's either thinking about going into student council or some leadership activity?
Yeah. I'm happy you teed it up with the application to students, specifically for the reason of thinking about K-12 experience or 6-12 experience of middle school and high school, is that the leadership application, the most effective leadership application we can teach, the desire to grow and the hunger to be curious, because they're still discovering who they are, what their interests are, what they like, who their friends are, what changes for them. Right. Even in, you mentioned Luther College and a couple of Luther grads that are part of the production team. Even in college, right? How many times in the average, I think it's 4 or 5 times a person changes their major before they're 22 years old. And so the idea of leadership being key is I talk a lot about leadership being self-awareness and being aware of it's metacognition, right? Is that hyper awareness of who you are, or how you're thinking, almost that half step backwards and look at the forest from the trees. But the leadership aspect comes into play of how do we instill the confidence for them to try and fail, try and succeed, try something new, and discover in that path when they're 12, 13, 14, 16, 17, 18, 20, 21, 22, of having the confidence in themselves, as you talked about, to be able to try different things and discover where their passions truly lie. And we could teach the leadership skills all day long, but at the end of the day, those skills don't matter much if people don't believe in themselves or have the confidence to put themselves out there and interact and create influence. Mm-hmm. And so the core of what we try and do at the WSC, and certainly moving forward, will be instilling that confidence that you talked about and identifying that self-awareness so we can teach the skills in addition to the knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Before we go into some of the activities that WASC is involved in, for our listeners, the organization began back in 1935. It was the Wisconsin Association of School Councils originated at the University of Wisconsin in Madison. And in 1935, as the Wisconsin High School Student Council Association, a much longer name.
Yes.
What was the most important reason why you applied for the position? And I'll add one other question to that, and that is, during your interview, obviously you had experience with the organization, but was there any question that really amused you or gave you pause to think about the answer to that question?
I pursued this organization because I've been involved since 1994 as a delegate up in Stevens Point, as I mentioned. And it wasn't the food at DeBow, their dining hall there, that got me hooked. Though they did have a cereal buffet in the morning. And I got to tell you, Steve, that was the first time I've ever seen that. And eyes open, like, is this what life is like? Is it a college student? Cereal buffet? I've been involved in the organization as a student, as a counselor, as director of one of the levels of leadership camp, which I know we're going to talk about programming in a bit. And what I've seen truly year after year after year is I'm reminded every year, I, Bjorn, am reminded of the simple premise that it's okay to be you. It's okay to be you, to just be yourself. We always joke when we go to camp every summer is that 51 weeks out of the year, I get to be Bjorn. And then I go to camp and I get to be very Bjorn, right? You could just be yourself and it's accepted. And there's a safe environment to do that. And I wanted to create that, not only create that environment or continue that environment for students, but I wanted to expand it. And my experience is both in education, as we talked about, but also in the business realm. And as an 86-year-old organization, we have a tremendous experience and strength in the curriculum programming part. I think we have an opportunity, especially now in mid or post-pandemic, however you want to look at it, to enhance the business aspect and be a stronger nonprofit so that we can serve more students in Wisconsin. And that's the reason I took a run at this or applied for this and got the role, is because I wanted to bring both that student hat and that student voice, but also that business acumen that I've spent a lot of time in, as you've mentioned. A question that amused me.
Or either amused or interested you more. I mean, I'm sure they asked very specific questions about your leadership capabilities and everything. But, you know, how did you bring all that together? Because your background, how many years did you teach, by the way?
I taught full-time 2 years in the classroom, about five total with mentoring and advising.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So with those experiences and with your vast experiences in banking and in leadership and all the other things that you've done in your career so far, maybe a better question is, why do you think they chose you?
Well, I assume it was through some sort of clerical error. Until they correct it, I'm going to keep doing the work. Okay. No, I think they chose me. Sorry, Steve. I think they chose me because I have a passion for students, right? But also, I think what I'll sort of wrap up your questions. The part that amused me, or the part that I think was a shift from what others were able to talk about, was to create sort of a vision for growth. You're an 86-year-old organization. We've been blessed with a lot of stability in the executive director role. We've had three over the last 40 years. I mean, that's incredible, right? Mm-hmm. After so long in that role, the previous person that I took over for was there for over 15 years, right? And she did a great job with making inroads into certain parts of the state. But times have changed, in the last 15, in the last 10, last 5 years, right? So being feet on the street outside of education, right? I worked in, I'll say, the private sector in business and marketing. And also, I was adjunct professor at the University of Wisconsin for 4 years. And being able to see what's happening in higher education of what comes next after that, that year 12, grade 13, if you will, plus for those that choose to go into school, and having a vision of what a nonprofit can be, not just our WSC nonprofit, but a nonprofit and how that interacts with the world. And spending time on the boards that I spend time on in the places I've lived, as you mentioned, I think put me in a position to bring a unique perspective to an age-old problem or question that I've been a part of a long time, which is how do we serve more students in the state of Wisconsin? So I walked in with a vision and a plan based on reality today and what the student voice and what's needed in schools. And I think that resonated with our board of directors.
If you're just joining us, my guest this morning on Education Matters is Bjorn Berg, who is executive director of the Wisconsin Association of School Councils. As I mentioned, I serve on my local school board, the Salem Consolidated School District. We're a 4K through 8 district. What do you see as the relationship, the importance of the relationship between the WASC and school boards, either the Wisconsin Association of School Boards, or just in general, the relationship between student government in a school district, let's say a high school student council president, the role that she or he might play with regards to interacting with school boards?
It's a great question, and probably the most immediate and relevant for us as an organization. I think the opportunity we have is to I'll use the word reframe the conversation, and we can call it rebrand or sort of re-envision. But you know, we're an organization that's focused on leadership. And while we've largely played in the student council, student government space, if you strip off that title of student government or student council, there's a leadership component to almost every school organization that's out there, but also largely, and this is my focus, Steve, so I so appreciate this question. I want us to shift our paradigm a little bit and start to spend more time, as you talked about, focusing on and highlighting and being part of our narrative, leadership within communities, in schools, but also outside of the school walls. It goes beyond just student council, and school boards are vital to that. I mean, the relationships there are crucial because the work they're doing in trying to lead the school is parallel to us of trying to enhance leadership, whether it's in student council or sports, athletics, music, DECA, FBLA, FFA, whatever that is. Mm-hmm. There's a leadership aspect. That Venn diagram in the middle is the core leadership skill and leadership knowledge for administration, for teachers, and for the school board. And I think there's an opportunity for us. We've got great programming and great curriculum that fits well in that middle, to be more active, be more vocal, and partner more with local school boards like yourself or school board members like yourself. Sure. To talk about what we can do, not just for student council or government at, I'll pick on Barron again, Riverview Middle School, but how can we take these student leaders, and again, back to what I said before of their voice and their actions are important. Take that voice, take those actions out into the community, strengthen leadership in the community, but also strengthen the school district itself. So mm-hmm. those relationships with school boards are crucial for us moving forward.
And maybe this would be a good place to have you talk about 2, 3, or 4 of the exciting programs, activities that WASC is already engaged in. And then I'll ask you the follow-up question I always like, and I'll say it now, but I'll mention it again, is what kinds of new programs are you looking at?
Yeah, thank you for that question. The first one that comes to mind is one of our upcoming programs right now. We have something called Leadership Day with the Bucks. And I like to say we partnered with the Bucks before it was cool, right? We've had this relationship for a number of years. Obviously, a championship-winning team. We're phenomenally excited about that. But we've
maintained and they are champions.
And they are champions. That's right, Bucks and Six. And so we have a program coming up here in early December where we are partnering with them. We literally take an entire day. We go to Fiserv Forum and spend time talking about leadership, not just athletics, but talking about leadership, hearing from Bucks leaders, potentially even some Bucks players. They're a little harder to access now that they're a championship winning team. And talk about things that are, again, immediate and relevant to what's happening in all of Wisconsin and in schools themselves. The second I would highlight is probably our largest event attendance-wise is our annual state conference. Mm-hmm. Every spring, we bring together as many schools, member schools or non-member schools, together in one place. This year, it's at the Kalahari in Wisconsin Dells, which we're very excited. We've never done it there before. Very excited about that. And we spend 2 days. It's a Sunday and into Monday, where we have speakers and breakout sessions and workshops, and we really get a chance to not only enhance skill leadership, but also network across the state. It really is sort of that big annual chance to network. And the third program I would highlight is our only non-school year program, which is our WSC leadership workshop, or our summer camp, if you will. This is year after year, the program that we find when we have alumni that come back or volunteers that want to serve again after they've gone through their senior year of high school, it's largely due to their connection to this leadership camp. And we hold that the last few years has been at Ripon College, up in Ripon, Wisconsin. They've been a wonderful partner with us. And it's just a chance for, it's truly an overnight camp, a chance for kids to get away for 4 or 5 days, immerse themselves in leadership learning, in all the skills along that come with that, and the networking piece, but also just learning to, be good people and focus on, we talk about kind of the four core areas: community, citizenship, skill building, and diversity, and how to become better at those things and take those skills back to their communities. So those are the three that I would say, exciting ones that are coming up, but certainly that are big on our radar as we look at how we serve students.
As you look, let's say over the next 3 years, what are one or two or even three projects, activities that you are currently thinking about? And obviously you'll involve others in decision-making as well, but what might they be?
I think what pandemic has shown all of us, not just at WSC, but school districts, and you mentioned, sort of globally, national, all these things that we've learned, is that some of the traditional ways in which things have been done have been challenged. And the WSC is no exception to that. If we look pre-pandemic 2019 and backwards, almost all of our programming has fallen into two categories, Steve. One, it's been in-person programming. And two, it's been largely event-based. We have a state conference, come for a day and a half, we get excited, and then take it back to your schools. We've got a summer camp, come for 5 days, and then we go. We've got a Bucks Day, Fiserv Forum, come for the day, and then go away. Those are great. Those are needed. Those are necessary. But as you think about education, and I know you serve on a school board and you've been an educator, as we think about how people learn, that isn't how the brain works, right? If I want to learn a skill, if I want to learn new knowledge, it isn't a one and done. Oop, I went to this event for a weekend and now I'm a doctor and now I'm a lawyer, right? There's time, there's continuity. So we are looking at what I call non-event-based programming, or programming that goes more cohort style and gives students an opportunity to week upon week, or whatever the cadence looks like, not only network with the same people moving through, hopefully from across the state, but also to build upon the knowledge that they have and then take that out in their communities and report back how it happened. And with that in mind, with the goal of preparing them for what comes next, right? When they leave high school, they're going to either a four-year school, a two-year school, a tech school, the military, or the workforce. How can we prepare them for that? Can we bring people to them, voices of admissions people from UW, hiring managers and HR people from the workforce? Can we give them access to people in the military and show them what options they have so that you can use the voice they've discovered through student leadership and truly go out and find what their place is in the world and better prepare them for what comes next? Or if they're in our middle school or early high school, prepare them for being the lead, first chair of the trumpet section, or being captain of the football team or the softball team. How can we prepare them for what comes next and to use those skills? That's a big focus. And trying to apply more of what we already know of how people learn in a more continuous flow way, a non-event programming, I'll come back to that term, that's absolutely on the radar. There's, and COVID has given us almost an opening. I know virtual learning, that's a hot topic. I don't want to go down that road today, but it's also demonstrated that students are willing to, or at least there's an, they've gone through the experience of some virtual programming or virtual learning or virtual experiences. We don't want to make it that heavy, 8 hours a day for 5 days a week, but certainly they've softened the ground a little bit for that. So I think there's more of a willingness to approach something like that than there maybe would have been pre-pandemic. So we're going to try and leverage that a little bit, find ways to give students a more continuous learning experience. Mm-hmm.
In the area of leadership, this gives me a chance to mention to you, I'm currently executive director and a board member of the John F. Tinker Foundation.
Saw that.
The Tinker versus Des Moines, student free speech, the most important landmark court decision back in 1969, that said that students and teachers don't shed their constitutional rights at the schoolhouse gate. And I'm also working with Kathy Kohlmeier, Hazelwood versus Kohlmeier.
Oh, yeah.
Another well-known court case, Student Free Press. The lead, I mention those because when you're talking about student leadership, that takes many forms. And, you know, people like to say, well, everything is political. And I think we can all relate to that, whether you're a liberal or a conservative or an independent. The importance of student leadership, how have you addressed, thought about in your new role as executive director, how these sorts of issues, if you will, can be dealt with in a professional way? And I use that word very, very purposefully for students to be professional in dealing with issues mm-hmm. like freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press.
We absolutely celebrate all of those things that you just mentioned for students in our programming, and not from the standpoint of trying to push an agenda. Like you said, everything's political, right? We don't push an agenda. We don't take a stance on it. But the skill that you just mentioned of being able to sit down in a professional, mature, even keel way and discuss differences of opinion or differences of thought or differences of philosophy, that in and of itself is a skill. And that the core of that is, I know I mentioned metacognition, is that EQ, right? Emotional intelligence mm-hmm. of being able to take it from a conversation where there's just two people talking to a true dialogue. Dialogue by definition being sort of the free flow of understanding of ideas back and forth. And teaching the skill of that, of how to facilitate those types of things, of when you find yourself in that situation, of the self-centeredness of what do I believe and why do I believe it? Am I willing to advocate for it or not? There's that free speech part. But part of what we are trying to teach and almost fight against, if I can use that word, is... And you know this because you mentioned some of the organizations you're a part of, is the types of ways that's modeled or not modeled in society today. You look at our leaders, our politicians, or those what shows up on the news, it's sound bites of people taking shots at so-and-so, or you know, the idea people are choosing the facts that they want to believe or what the facts are true or not, right? In the face of objective evidence or subjective feeling. And so the skill of being able to discern, why do I believe what I believe and can I articulate that and understand that there are differences of opinion, that there are differences of philosophy. And if I'm standing next to someone who disagrees with what I believe or think or live, how I live my life, doesn't make me better or worse, but we have to find a way to not only coexist, side by side, but also hopefully find some sense of community. And that all of those things I just mentioned that you talked about, see, those are skills. And those skills, how a big challenge for the WSC that we're looking at and trying to embrace is how we prepare these students for what comes next. And a large part of that is trying to prepare them for, as you mentioned, in a very emotionally mature way, professionally, civilly, ethically, have discussions and differences of opinion and know that those things will exist in the world. And they need to be prepared for that and how to do that. It's a large part of the conversation today. It's certainly relevant today as we're recording this in schools right now. These things are happening. What can we do to prepare students to be able to handle those in a good way? That's a big focus of what we've got coming up for our next few years.
So, you know, as a school board member for the last 6 years, and it's a 4K through 8 district, what I'm going to ask is probably not as relevant as it might be if we had a high school. Because we have two excellent high schools within our immediate area, Wilmot High School and also Wastosha Central High School, both outstanding schools, all of our schools in the area. How important do you think it is for school districts, particularly school boards, to have a student member on the board, not an elected member? How might a school district, how might any school district really look at getting some student leaders involved?
We believe wholeheartedly in the power and value of the student voice. And it comes back to what you mentioned before, different perspective, different way of looking at it. Sometimes they're the ones who are having to, I'll say, deal with or live with the decisions that are made by the school board in terms of what's relevant right now, masks or no masks, right? In person versus virtual versus hybrid. Just two relevant examples or immediate examples that come to mind. But the school board's making those decisions, and they may or may not have children that are participating in the program, but it's the student that's feeling and living day to day what that means and the implications of that. So I cannot emphasize enough, and I will shout this from the rooftops for every moment that I'm the executive director of the WSC, of the power of this, of the student voice. If school boards are looking for that, a great place to start is student leadership. But I would even broaden that out and talk to these activity advisors and go, you know, do you have a student that would be interested in this, or a student that shows a propensity around leadership that has a unique perspective? And or even ask for a show of hands, right? You might be surprised at how many kids would be like, I don't, you know, student council is too much for me. I don't know if I want to, you know, take on the captaincy of my sports team, but involved in the school board. Hey, this is something that piques my interest a little bit, piques with a QU. And as a non-voting member, but just I'll take it a step further. Not only having the voice there, but giving them an opportunity to speak and share.
Sure.
It is crucial, especially today with so many changes going on and the politicization, if you will, of some of these decisions and the way the things are being talked about at home versus what's happening in the schools. It's important for those school boards to hear from the end user, not just necessarily the parent perspective or maybe, you know, what they're hearing in the community.
Mm-hmm. Before I ask you my last question, I wanted to ask you this. As the brand new, newly minted executive director, what's the most exciting thing that you see either presently or on the horizon that you really want to do for the organization to make it even more viable, more important than it already is?
There is we'll talk immediacy today. There is a hunger and a desire, almost a reset, if you will, of that hunger desire from students, from school districts, from parents, as they're getting back into a lot of in-person classes, some hybrid, right? Our normal way of operating has been disrupted in almost all facets of life. As a result of that, there's a renewed hunger we're seeing in the workforce right now, outside of education, the great resignation, right? All these people that are stopping and going, life is too short. This pandemic has showed me that. Why am I doing this job I don't enjoy? Let me go find something that I do enjoy, right? This almost this reset of mentality of what do I want to do? That is a tremendously exciting thing for the WSC and for student leaders across the state, because it gives us an opportunity to present an option to say, regardless of what you do in your life, there's leadership parts that are going to be important as you're going through this reset or a new perspective on life after this 18 months of pandemic. We're going to find new ways to deliver programs to areas that we haven't historically participated in, or eliminate some barriers for students to participate, but we're going to give you a chance to better yourself. Mm-hmm. And I am so excited to see that hunger, to see that excitement as students are coming back to school, and the excitement to coming back to student council or WSC. But regardless of the organization, students are getting, we're seeing a desire for students to get involved because they, I think students and parents realize sort of what they missed being away from that. And that is setting the table for a lot of organizations like ourselves, but certainly the WSC to try and reach more students that are just hungry for it.
Sure. And my last question is, and I always like to ask this of my guests, is there something that I've not asked you that you wish that I would have?
Yes. Where can the people donate? Very good, Steve. I was just
going to ask you that, but hey, that's great. Go on.
No, the here's what I would say. The core of the WASC, and we'll get to WASC.org in a second, and I'm going to say that probably five times before we wrap today. The core of what we do, you know, we try and increase citizenship, foster community, enhance skill building, and celebrate diversity. And those tenets are relevant and immediate in the world today, certainly in our schools. And the work that that our student leadership organization is doing isn't just confined to student council. We want to find ways to partner with other organizations, to truly partner with school boards and communities, so that we can give these students an opportunity for their voice to be heard, to develop that self-confidence within them, and to truly raise that next generation of Wisconsin leaders for our neighborhoods, for our school districts, for our sports teams, for our programs, for our communities. That's the core of what we're trying to do. And we are always looking for help. I know that's the next question. We're always looking for help. Raise your hand. Show up. Decisions are made by those that show up and raise their hand. Volunteers, donations. We're always looking for support on that end to try and further student leadership in Wisconsin.
So your website, WASC.org, our listeners can go to that site and look at all the wonderful activities and programs and events coming up. And you also have a button there that you can click where it says donate. One last question. So I lied. That would be my last. Where does other funding come from? Who are other supporters of WASC?
Yeah, thank you for that. We are largely driven by an in-kind volunteer donation base, right? And also a majority of our funding comes from actually our programming. So we do have some partners. The WIAA is a great partner. AWSA, the Association of Wisconsin School Administrators, has been a strong partner for many, many years. But we are in a place right now where we are also actively looking for some of those, you know, more private industry or corporate partnerships that care about Wisconsin. Here's the criteria: care about Wisconsin, care about leadership, and want to invest in their communities. If you're listening right now and can check all three of those boxes, we're looking for ways to partner with you to provide some marketing support on your end, or feet on the street, hands-on student opportunities to serve on their end as well. But we are largely driven by our programs, and that's a model that we're looking to expand as we try and find ways to ingrain ourselves more deeply into communities.
Okay, very good. And I'll make sure that when this is posted on the WGTD site, that we put your website information.
Excellent.
And I would like to thank the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association of School Councils, Bjorn Berg, for being my guest this morning. Thank you so much.
Steve, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Steve Brown, thanking you so much for listening to Education Matters this morning with my guest, Bjorn Berg. For WGTD HD, have a wonderful weekend.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard each Saturday morning at 10:30 on WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Archived programs are available on our website, WGTD.org. You're invited to continue the discussion on the Education Matters Facebook page. Support for WGTD comes from the law offices of Frank J. Parise, helping serve criminal defense needs, including traffic and DUIs, for over 35 years. Call 262-656-9906 for more info.
The Gateway Radio Reading Service is for visually impaired listeners who would like to have newspapers and books read to them. In the Kenosha Racine area, easy-to-operate radios are available free of charge. Visit WGTD.org or call 564-3744.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant,